Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. I have over 80 to, I think it's about 80 to choose from that you can listen to. Last week, I interviewed Fro Rojas, the director of Teal Poppy, about a carefree guy who ends up caring for his sister's six kids after her untimely death. It's kind of a drama comedy, and definitely bring your Kleenex, but also be prepared to laugh when you watch that movie. And before that, I interviewed Eddie Duran from 36 Saints. And interestingly enough, both of those movies were written by the same person, Joey DeDio, who played the lead in Teal Poppy and had a secondary role, a supporting role in 36 Saints. But he wrote both films, which are very different from each other. The Teal Poppy, like I said, is a family drama comedy, and the 36 Saints is a little bit darker. People have called it kind of a mix between Seven and The Da Vinci Code, because you end up looking up a lot of the references in the movie. There's a lot of biblical references and mythology references and different things within that film that make it very interesting. And both films have a cast that's fairly unknown characters, so it's always fun to see new people coming on board. But today we have a veteran actor on the show, Bruce Boxleitner, an actor that has a career that spans over 40 years and who currently is on a TV show called Cedar Cove on Hallmark. And I believe I have him on the line. Let's see. Bruce, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I am great. It's nice to have you on the show.
Yes. I think we've talked before, haven't we? Yes.
Well, actually, I was on the set with you, and I don't know if you remember me at all, but I was actually on Babylon 5, Paragon of Animals. With you.
How many
way
years
back,
ago that was already?
That was too many years ago to even think about.
Yeah. I know.
The kind of the queen of the Enfili refugees.
Okay. My God. Really?
Yes.
That is quite a while ago.
I know.
Anyway.
But
yes.
I want to talk first about Cedar Cove that you're on right now, the Hallmark project.
Hallmark Channel,
tell me a little bit about. I'm sorry?
No, what go on, please.
Okay. I wanted to find out how you found out about the project and what drew you into the material to make you want to be on the show.
Well, I wish it was all that. It's very simple. I'm an actor. I need to work. And it was an offer given me. I had about 2 days' time to make up my mind and get to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, to commence shooting. I was actually replacing some there were two actors that were being replaced, a man and a woman, for these characters of Bob and Peggy Belden. Well, it's not unusual. And they had already done a pilot to this series, and those two characters were not in the pilot, but in the first one, three, and five, they were. And it's a big ensemble cast. It's based on the books of this very prolific author, this woman, Debbie Macomber. I was quite impressed. I'd never heard of her before. I don't really read those kind of books too much, but I guess she's like 170 million sold. I mean, that's
wow.
Not chump change there. She's very popular. And anyway, my agent called and said that there's an offer from the Hallmark Channel. Now, I've done a number of projects for Hallmark. It's one of those things actor does. I mean, it wasn't dissimilar to when I did Babylon 5. I, of course, replaced Michael O'Hare in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a very short notice in which to make up that decision. And it was quite a different one because that was for the leading role in that one. This one, I have, it's at this time in my life, it's fine with me. This role in Cedar Cove, you know, it's not a the lead role, which is great. I'm fine with that. I'm one of the characters of the town of Cedar Cove. A lovely mm-hmm. actress by the name of Barbara Niven plays my wife. Well, Barbara and I have worked a couple of times together. It's a lot different than Babylon 5 was, or
yeah.
or anything else, or Tron, or anything else. It's a much more quieter portrayal of a patriarchal character in the town of Cedar Cove, which is a fictional town up on the northwest Pacific coast of Washington State, which she based her stories on, where she grew up in Port Orchard, Oregon, I believe. Or Washington, whichever it is. But so that's what I've been doing the last 3 months. It's basically comes. It's just we've been on for 5 or 6 weeks, and I'm more enjoying watching my fellow actors and the storylines, and you know. But it's a sweet thing. It's the total antithesis of all the serial killers and monsters and zombies and whatever else we have rampaging through television today. And it's a little quieter, and it's a little more old fashioned. It's in a good way. I'm not saying it's for all, you know, we got to remember there's a big general audience, and you've got something for everybody out there. And there's not a lot of this kind of programming for people who don't want to watch Walking Dead and all the other ghoulish, gritty, edgy, dark, horrific stuff that's going on, because the world is horrific enough at the moment. Some people want a sort of safe harbor to go to and just be mildly entertained, you know. But I'm enjoying it because, listen, it was a job. And like I said, we are... actors are like, it's not unlike the military. We get orders and off we go, you know. But I've enjoyed, I love Vancouver, British Columbia. I really do. I've gone up there many, many times. I shot Tron Legacy up there the last time I was up there. And so, you know, it's like it's a beautiful place to shoot. So
yeah. Are you set every day, or how does the shooting schedule work?
No. I only come in, do my bit, and come back home. I come in and do a couple scenes, and that's it. That's all they ever my role consists of. It's like I said, I'm not the leading role. Andy McDowell is the lead, our leading lady. She's the lead character in the books as well. And Dylan Neal, who an actor you may be familiar with, but if you're really a Babylon 5 fan, you'd know who Dylan Neal is, because he was in one of the last spinoffs. He played it was called Legend of the Rangers for the Sci-Fi Channel. Mm-hmm. And he played the young commander, lead ranger in that. And so we kind of have this unusual group of people up there, by the way, because we have our director and showrunners, Martin Wood, who was involved with Stargate for years. And Sanctuary, Amanda Tapping Sanctuary, and a show called Primeval, which I don't know that I ever made. I'm not sure about that one. But anyway, there's sort of the, you know, Vancouver is kind of sci-fi TV central up there. I mean, most of you, you had Stargate for years and what have you, Fringe, and all these shows are shot up in Vancouver. So here we are doing this sort of... romance, I guess you'd call it romance novel TV show with all these sci-fi people in it. But, you know, people have to work. That's all. I mean, I wish I could pick and choose my projects. I don't.
It's a very charming show. I've really enjoyed it.
It's a charming show. It is. It's the most beautiful thing on TV, I swear. Scenery and everything lend itself. But, no, I just I come in, do my job, and I leave. It's kind of nice. I don't have to carry the weight of the series on my shoulders like I did back in the day. And right now, so it leaves me open because I've got other projects I'm working on. So,
Which we're going to talk about in a second.
Keeps the paycheck coming in, paying the rent, and, you know, There are jobs that you do that just are necessary, and jobs that you do because you love the role. But I have to say about Cedar Cove, I do love it because of the people I'm working with. You know, these are relationships you form, and and that's all the reasons to do these things. You know,
so you've had a lot of
also as an actor, you have to try to appeal. I know I've been in the last few years really with the sci-fi audience, and I have marvelous fans. I don't ever begrudge that. But you have to try to appeal to a much more general sense, you know, general public, general fan base. And you can't be just one genre, you know what I'm saying? It's you get identified enough, but you have to try to appeal to all genres and all audiences. So
you've done a lot of TV work. Do you prefer TV, or do you wish you had done more films, or
darling, it's not that question of what I want. It's who I was cast in. I don't have the I don't have the choice. I wish I could. I love films, but television is where I started. Television is what I've been sort of that's where I'm, you know, that's who employs me. Actors really don't have those choices unless you're Tom Hanks.
Right.
You know, somebody like that. you know, he came out of television, but he was very lucky and got into films and then remained there because he became a huge film star. I didn't, it's fine with me, you know. I think television is actually doing better work than films today. That's my personal opinion.
I'm hearing that a lot.
Yeah,
it definitely
I think most of our cinema is crap. sorry to be bold and sorry to be graphic like that, but you know what? I really do. It's I think you know, I saw something Kevin Spacey, who's got this series House of Cards on Netflix right now that's nominated for so many Emmys and so on. He was even saying that, you know, this is the lure that a lot of former film stars are going into television because there's actually better material.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, everything is superheroes now and movies and CGI. And these are just my opinions, by the way, you know. But I think we're about to go through a big game change in the entertainment industry. I think in technology and the ability of is driving it. And I think the big movies, even though they're, you know, the big tentpole pictures, strangely enough, I saw this happen in the 60s. And it went through a very similar thing. The big studios were just turning out these things, and pretty soon the audiences were just not showing the interest. And the smaller films came in, led by Easy Rider and a lot of this, you know, which gave us Jack Nicholson and a whole new generation. But it was. I think even Spielberg has talked about this recently. That
yeah, he sure has.
This is all going to implode because the studios can't sustain these huge $300 million movies. They're just not making that money back, and it's going to show that television is drawing a lot away from the film audiences. Ticket prices are higher. It's not more people are going to the movies, it's just more expensive to go to the movies. You know, it's an interesting time, and it's good for creativity too, I think. I know the science fiction audiences like the big bang boom thing, but the big special effects things, those are, it's, you know, I'm not saying those aren't good. There are some good ones, but there's so many of them. Look what happened to the Lone Ranger and John Carter of Mars and all these things. They were absolute, you know, industry-wise, they were bombs.
Yeah.
Stinking bombs. Yeah. And I like John Carter. But it just didn't do well.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But
I think television is where it's at. So. Anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know you enjoyed the kind of continuation of Tron and the Tron Legacy. Now, that has a lot of special effects, and it's amazing how it's changed from the first Tron to now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think Tron is very special, still very special, still very popular. That's probably, if I'm known for anything, I'm known for that nowadays.
Yeah. Did I hear that your sons have a production company called Sons of Tron?
Well, that's what they call themselves, yes, yes.
Yeah, they, I wouldn't
call it a production company, but they are kind of, you know, they label themselves that. They do a lot of YouTube videos, but they work in the industry and they do those on the side. They are, in fact, they work, they do several of the Hallmark movies that are sold to Hallmark. They're shot down here in the studio, but in Los Angeles. But, yeah, they are the Sons of Tron, yeah. No, I'm about to go overseas to London and up to Glasgow, Scotland, doing conventions. And I know way over there it's even more popular, the Tron franchise.
Yeah.
So
I know
hopefully it'll keep going, you know. But I worry that because these big movies are bombing so badly, you never know. I don't know what the future of that is going to be.
Yeah.
They're all having to rethink their strategies. But now that we have Ben Affleck as Batman, we're saved. Can you believe the uproar
no
of all this? No comment. I
think it's kind of ridiculous.
It's absolutely, you know, we've got much more serious stuff going on in the world. You know. And this whole, I mean, I remember yesterday I was watching, I couldn't believe it, every newscast, everybody had at least one storyline about Ben Affleck, the reaction to doing Batman. You'd think, oh my God. Anyway, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about, how are you enjoying doing the voiceover for Tron Uprising? Is that a different process?
Seems oh, like I liked it, yeah. I mean, we're no longer doing it anymore. We did the one season, and that looks like that's it. I enjoyed it a great deal. I'm disappointed that it didn't go any further, but didn't have enough ratings, I guess. That's the only thing I can figure out. I enjoyed it a great deal. You know.
Yeah. Do you know anything about the next Tron? Like Tron 3? Is there going to be a sequel, or it's kind of
I have really no idea. I mean, it's what you know, I know. it's out there. I mean, it's been out there. Isn't it funny? Joe Straczynski, Joe Kaczynski. I had the Polish Joes. Joe Straczynski with Babylon 5 and Joe Kaczynski with Tron.
Right.
I saw him this last year in Anaheim, at WonderCon in Anaheim, and because he had just had the new success with the Tom Cruise film, Oblivion, and he said it's in the works, you know, and that's all I know. I mean, other than that, I mean, the scripts are being written. The script is being written. They've gone to another writer again, and it's a long process putting these big pictures together. Tron Legacy was 4 years in pre-production before it ever shot anything.
Yeah,
I mean, that's how long it takes. So to do all of that, and I know he's. I saw something recently. For Warner Brothers, he's going to helm another version of The Twilight Zone. And he's got The Black Hole at Disney as well. So he's got a full, thing. So I have no idea, to tell you the truth. And I'd like to say that on your blog here, that I've been caught on YouTube, and they all said, well, Bruce Boxleitner said, and, well, Bruce Boxleitner.
Right.
It's way above my pay grade to actually give the official word.
Right.
So, but I hope there will be. I hope it's not another 28 years like it was between the two.
Yeah.
Tron and Tron Legacy. But I know that disappoints a lot of young Tron fans. You know, it's, they're all hoping to hear something. Well, I wish I could say positively,
not
but
that easy.
I can't. Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about Lantern City.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Lantern City, because I don't know that much about it, but it looks amazing, and I want to know where you're at
Thank
with
you.
That.
It's been a long, slow slog trying to get this thing put together. I have a marvelous partner and production team. This is something that we came up with a little more than a year ago. And I've got a wonderful writer, Matthew James Daly, who we went through one writer, and then we came to Matthew, and Matthew has just knocked it out of the park. We've got a marvelous two-hour script, four episodes. We have a published prequel book, since everyone is so obsessed with having source material today, because it's hard to sell an original idea, you know, mm-hmm. in Hollywood today. They either want it's got to be based on the graphic novels or based on the books. You know, Game of Thrones isn't not a new, it's, you know, George R.R. Martin's books. I mean, they have source material. So we have a saga not unlike that, and in more of a sort of steampunk alternate universe, alternate world. And it's a story that we came up, my friend and partner Trevor Crafts, who is a young producer trying to make it in Hollywood. And we have a great production team. We have marvelous artists. Like I said, a marvelous script already. We've already had actors that have wanted to have come to us and wanted to be a part of it when and if we get it going. But it's a hard thing because trying to pitch, it would not be a cheap project, but we've gone through, what we're establishing is a pitch package. We have to have a total package nowadays to go in, and so it's very hard for fans and to understand the process of how a show is created and how a show is produced. And like I said, for Tron Legacy, 4 years, and you know, often some of your favorite television shows were germinated years before they ever saw the light of day. So that's where we are right now.
I know there was talk from other networks of creating steampunk shows. Is that something that kind of makes you feel better about it, or are you worried that they're going to jump the gun and they're going to do it first, and it's going to, you know?
Well, it's not going to be about who. It's not going to be about who does it first. It's going to be who does it better. And I heard about that. Yes, I've heard about these other projects. I think it's good. I was on a panel in San Diego. Was it at Comic-Con? Yeah, we were at a panel. Yes, at Comic-Con this last couple months back, and we were very surprised. There were a number of projects like that. I think ours is unique, but I welcome the competition. In other words, we're on to something. Because if somebody else has got it too, there's no original idea in the world. I looked at their approach to this, and I think we have a very different and a unique approach. Some of this is kind of comical, a sort of a satiric steampunk element. Steampunk also, by the way, it's something that I didn't even know the term. Just a couple of years ago, I'd heard it, but I knew what I saw. And attending conventions and stuff like that, I started to see these things. And also the films and stuff that approached it, but never really quite did it. Wild Wild West and stuff like that, I didn't think were successful whatsoever. But I was intrigued by the idea, intrigued by that by the possibilities of that world. And so that's what we've tried to find, something that is kind of unique. And
there's a huge fan base for it.
Huge fan base. But it's as diverse as anything I can think of. I mean, everyone has their version of it or what their idea of it is. You know,
that's,
it actually goes
exciting.
Way back to authors, Michael Moorcock and people like that in the 60s and early 70s, that there was cyberpunk. Okay, and then there was steam. The antithesis of that would be steampunk, you know. And I sort of, you know, I didn't quite, like I said, I knew what it was when I saw it, but I didn't really, wasn't that familiar with the term yet. And then I heard this thing, steampunk, which kind of makes me laugh. But Lantern City is an original story that we came up with. I sat and helped. We had a 10-hour session here in my place, sort of hammering out these characters and fleshing them out. And I think we have a pretty original piece. And but it's hard because we're in Hollywood. But that's, you know, you've got to try to reach people, try to get meetings, and trying to get. Do you film something nowadays? There's many ways of going at it, but sometimes, so we'd have to raise money to be able to film something, which means we have to hire actors, negotiate with agents, and build sets and all these things just to deliver maybe a little 5-minute piece to show a studio or a production company. And it's not an easy task. Do we do it that way? There's a number of ways of doing it. I think we're at the thing now. We have sort of a concept video that's out there, which is on our website, lanterncitytv.com. If you don't know about it, please go to it. And we've had a pretty elaborate, what we, I think, is unique with us is that we are embracing the fan base first. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, we've been trying to doing a different approach. You know, it's pretty incredible. And there's been a tremendous outpouring from the audience, fan base. And because steampunk is such a maker-oriented community, we've encouraged people to send us designs and their ideas and designs in their, whether it's wardrobe, whether it's ships, or, you know what I'm saying, architecture, whatever it is that they want to contribute. And we've been talking, we've got one of the best in the steampunk world artists, Tom Williford, who is renowned in that community, and he's on our team, and he's sort of helping us find and get ideas and contribute. If you're a prop maker, maybe you can actually use your props in our show. You know, so we've been appealing that. That's why we've been doing the convention circuit so much. And there you go. I don't know. I seem to be rambling on.
Oh, no, not at all.
Is that telling you enough?
No, this is great.
But I think my background with Babylon 5 and stuff, I kind of can rely on some of the experience I gained on that, being an actor and telling a saga. And it seems to be coming back in television, very much so. Like I said, Game of Thrones and we used to call the miniseries, but these kind of sagas with continuing storylines is very much back in vogue. That's what's happening on cable television now. But or shows like Lost and stuff like that, where you have enthralling characters and you follow them through A, B, C storylines, you know, throughout the thing. So certainly we did that with Babylon 5, as you will recall. So that was part of the lore about
Babylon
5.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, as you recall, with Babylon 5, that's what hooked people, is they wanted to know what was going to keep happening and how did these storylines turn out and how did they intertwine and so on and so forth, so which Joe was so masterful at doing. I had a long discussion with him. We were in Chicago together, and we had one long night at dinner talking about this and what he thought, and you know, his no, not Joe Straczynski, no, he's got so much to do on his own, what he's doing right now. So he's got a series with Wachowski brothers.
I was going to say, are you planning on using a lot of green screen or, you know, special effects and, you know, to create these fantasy worlds? Are you going to do some live action, or how's that going to work?
Well, that's what you do with it today. Yes, you have to. There's no way of actually building and creating all this stuff. There's no money on the earth to be able to do that. No, that's the thing. It's television. It's not a one-off motion picture where they can blow $500,000. No, we'll have to do all of the above, everything you said. Certainly CGI will have to be involved. Because we've got a very elaborate world that we've built of Lantern City. And, yeah, we'll certainly have to use that. And it is.
Are you going to be in the show as well?
No.
Are you going to be a character? No, not at all?
No.
You need to step behind the camera this time.
Yeah, I'm trying to help build this world. And who knows? I will say, jury is out on that at the moment. I want to say initially I'm not, but there may be something further on. Because we've got a very elaborate storyline, forward and backward in time and things like that. So who knows? You never know.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Because there are other things I'm interested in. I'm not only just interested in being an actor. So
there's other
creative, much more. Actually, that's the least creative part of any show, is being the actor. The creative part is being the storyteller, is creating the story and creating the job itself. But you never know. You never know.
I know that you came. I want to kind of go back a little bit when you came to Hollywood after living in farm country out in Illinois. How did you
in the suburbs as well? Everybody's got me out with barefoot farm boy. I actually was raised in the suburbs. I don't know where they've gotten.
Illinois, and I think farm country. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, unless it's Chicago.
Well, I did. But I lived in towards Chicago. But I actually had the luxury in my life of being both. It was kind of fun being both because my grandparents were farmers. And so I grew up on the farm in the summers, always. I was always out on the farm. But then I also lived in town, too, so,
Yeah, and I lived out in the middle of nowhere, too, and I also lived in the suburbs, so I understand.
Yeah. Had the best of both worlds. Yes.
That's right. So how did you get, you always talk about, you got your agent, but how, it's not that simple. How did you get an agent when you first went out to Hollywood? Did you just send out your headshot?
Well, I had an agency I was in New York when I got my agent. I was on Broadway.
Okay.
And I was seen by an agent during the previews of the Broadway show.
Okay.
And when the show didn't last very long on Broadway, we actually closed within a week after having, which is heartbreaking. It was actually one of my first big lessons in show business is that and I'd been in this play that we had taken to Broadway in Chicago. I'd started it and in Washington, D.C. as well. And I was the young lead in it. And it was a very heady experience. I was like 21 years old. And it was actually a bitter experience to go down in flames on Broadway. But it actually gave me a good lesson early on. About how tough a business it is, this agent saw me though, and inquired about me, and I met with him, and he was a big agent, a big agency at the time, and so I was in New York for a while, hitting around, really didn't get much going afterwards, did some summer stock and did some of this and that, and. Well, I was finally convinced by an agent in his office that, you know, maybe it would be better, because I was actually more interested in film and television if I could try to break into it. And I started in the theater, but that's what my ultimate goal was. And so eventually I went west, and the agency that was that agency, it was called IFA right now. It would be ICM now, which was one of the biggest agencies. It's still one of the biggest agencies in Hollywood. At that time, they're called IFA, and they said, look up this fellow when you get out to the West Coast. And I was given his number, and I started. So I had that advantage. Which is a tough thing for, still is, trying to find representation now.
Because, yeah, it's very difficult.
It is. It's one of the huge hurdles a young actor or actress has to try to get, because you can't, in Hollywood, you can't walk into an office and represent yourself. You have to have someone represent you. It's just not done that way. Theater is a little more different. There are open calls and things like that where people can come in. But generally, even today in theater, you have to have representation, you know. Someone has to do the negotiating for you. Someone has to do that. And you got to remember, I started in there, it was 1972 when I was in New York. So, anyway, it was, you know, tremendous experience. And I was much younger and much braver back then.
Weren't we all?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
with all the different shows that you've done, because you've done, I mean, countless shows, which do you think, or there's probably more than one, that has really stretched you as an actor? Have you had a couple that really were like, wow, I'm going to really need to have to do a lot of prep work for this?
It's hard to say. Every role has its challenges, and every series certainly does. I would say being thrust into Babylon 5, strangely enough. But now I had to learn all kinds of skills. How the West was won, I had to learn my cowboy skills. I had to learn to ride and shoot and be out in the weather and work in the elements, which a lot of theater people are ill-trained to do, to be out in the elements and the dirt and wind and heat, cold, all of that thing that you do in a big outdoor type of thing like that. But that's my Illinois experience kicked in there. You know, my farm life then it kicked in. But no, I think a show like Babylon 5, Scarecrow and Mrs. King certainly did, because that was my first real carrying a show, Kate Jackson and I carrying that show, and the rigors of that. That being more sort of a combination of adventure and romantic comedy, and it's, you know, learning comedy, learning timing, and all those type of things.
Right.
Which you know, not learning but honing, I would say, because I had to do that in Broadway and in the theater as well. I did that, but really, you know, doing sort of a comic timing and yet doing have to do stunt work and all those type of things. Every role has its challenges. And that was all that school stepping stones to, you know, ultimately who I am today. So,
I'm enjoying it.
I'm very blessed with a terrific career. It's had its ups and downs, more ups, I would think, than downs. But every one of them have that sort of thing. And now I'm sort of playing the mature roles, father, you know, those kind of roles, and feel, you know, very prepared for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
I heard that there might be another Scarecrow and Mrs. King. Is that going to happen?
I doubt that.
I
don't know.
No.
Where do you get these things?
You know,
I think that's
thriller,
just wish fulfillment from some older ladies. no, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know how that would come about. We don't make that kind of TV anymore. That's 80s television. So, and I wouldn't want
to
do it. To tell me the truth, I wouldn't want to do it. I don't want to relive my career. There's no way to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
That was then. That was then. This is now. And I would dispel the same thing about Babylon 5. I would say, why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody wants to have a do-over, and Tron is the only one that I think is the one that is capable of doing that, because it's an ongoing story that is actually relevant to our time. You know, video game world, the age of information, and that sort of thing came in at the birth of that, and it still has a certain relevance, I think, that appeals to audiences. Babylon 5 is a marvelous piece, but we've lost too many people to try to go back to that. I know Classic Trek did, you know, they did, but unfortunately we've lost so many of our cast, and you know, there's a certain thing that I want to tell younger fans of these shows, is that it's like trying to capture lightning in a bottle again. I don't want to discourage people, and it's wonderful to think of how we could keep going with that, but I just don't think that anybody has the want to.
Right.
You know, I'm looking for, I want to do myself. I want to do Lantern City. I want to I want to go forward. I don't want to look backwards.
Right.
You know, I look backward fondly, but I don't want to, I can't relive my career all over again. You know,
too many other things to do.
It's great nostalgia. You know, it's wonderful nostalgia, but I do believe Tron still has those capabilities. I think that's
What would be your advice for an actor trying to get into this business now? Trying to get in.
Oh boy!
Is there any advice?
Scares me to death. I don't know. I don't even. The idea of even starting today. It's a total different business than the one I was in. I came into totally different. Everything. The whole. I would not discourage. I would say, and you know, my sons have been actors and want to be actors. My oldest son Sam, I still encourage him. He has a hard time, but he also sees that dad is still fighting to get jobs. You know, I have to audition. I don't make these auditions. I don't get the role. You know, Cedar Cove came because they know me at Hallmark. The guy over there, Randy Pope, who's at Hallmark, who I started with many years ago, he remembered and said, why don't we try Bruce Boxleitner? You know, those are those things that are few and far between nowadays. Because I'm of a certain age now, they have to see me again. I have to totally reinvent myself. So I would say to a young actor, it's got to be something you really want. You go and take as many classes or scene study things, whatever you can do to keep honing your craft, which you think is your strong suit. If you can take classes, go to drama school, those type of things. So much is on luck and being in the right place at the right time. Certainly getting representation is a tough thing to do. So you would go to acting classes, talk amongst other young actors, and find out what is going on in that world. Where are auditions being held, and what is required of you for the audition? Certainly, like I said, representation is absolutely utmost important. Working on you physically, your physical being. Because for the actor, your body, your look, everything, that's your instrument. That's the commodity you're selling. And work on that. Get in the best shape. Develop yourself physically. Read constantly. Practice singing. Mm-hmm. Practice singing. Take voice lessons. Work on your voice. Work on how you carry yourself, how you present yourself. And there's so many things involved. But most of all, the very basic of it is you have to want this more than anything else in your life.
Yeah.
You're starting out. You have to be totally tunnel-visioned and totally dogged in your pursuit of it. And you have to go to where it's being done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's your local theater group, do that. Whatever it is to get up. Get up and get in front of an audience. A stage. Mm-hmm. I did community theater when I was a kid. I started in high school. You know, I got bit by the first time I heard those applause on the stage, on a high school stage. That was it for me. But it's something I knew I fantasized about but never really thought I could do. But you have to be tremendously courageous to be an actor because you have to be able to go out in front of people and expose yourself. And I don't mean this, but anybody else could go, you know, you could think of, I'm talking about expose your inner self, and you have to be very brave. That's a tough thing to do, to go out there and open up your heart, you know, and hang it out there. But that's what you have to do. So,
I know you have a couple things coming up, Cedar Cove Christmas, of course, and Silver Bell.
Yes, I did a little movie in Michigan called Silver Bells, kind of a comedy role, sort of a Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life kind of role. And that should be coming out this November, I believe. Not sure if it's what it's going to be on, but probably cable as well. you know.
Okay.
It's a fun part. And what else? And then Cedar Cove, that's just the last two episodes is our sort of Christmas movie, because it is Hallmark, you know.
Uh-huh.
Hallmark
right.
is Christmas. Christmas got it, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's fun.
Okay.
But I think, you know, we're looking to hear when are we going to hear if there's going to be a season two, and then
uh-huh.
be a backup to Vancouver again if there is. And
mm-hmm.
and we'll see what happens, you know.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
Well, we're running out of time.
Okay.
Anything else that you want to pitch real quick? Get everything
pitch
in there?
Here. No, I thank you. I want to thank you for taking
You're
the
welcome.
Time and
thank
interest
you.
To for the interview. But I hope in anything I might have said, I'm not discouraging people. Believe me, I love the fan base of Babylon 5, certainly of Tron, or anything else that I might have done over the years. And I believe me, I do love and cherish my fans. And, you know, without them, where would any of us be? So
right.
that's what we do it for. Ultimately, it's the
yeah.
audience. You, the audience, is what we do all of this for.
Mm-hmm.
To entertain. So
when is your next
I just
convention?
Want to thank everybody. Huh? My next
convention?
When is
your convention? Next
convention? I think our Lantern City team, we will be at the New York Comic Con, which is when? I just saw it again. Where's New York Comic Con? Oops, shoot. Hold on, let me, I'm looking at myself. Yeah, New York Comic Con, which is, I think, in November. Or am I talking on October, November? November?
Right. Gosh, I have to look it up myself.
I'm
October 11th through 14th. I just looked
oh,
it up.
Oh, okay. It's October. Okay.
October
I've got
11th through
14th.
Yeah.
I'm leaving for right. Scotland, MCM Scotland in Glasgow for those overseas. We'll be there signing on the 6th,
okay.
flying over the 4th, going up to Glasgow. Then we have a Forbidden
right.
Planet bookstore signing in Edinburgh, Scotland, a couple days later. I don't have the exact dates, but people can look that up. And then in London on the 14th at the Forbidden Planet science fiction and bookstore, comic store, stars in London
right.
on the 14th. So and then we'll be coming back a couple days later. And... what else have I got? I think there's one in Winnipeg. Is that in November? That could be. And so far, that's all I know right now. And then
do you
we
have a website?
Scarecrow
have
and Mrs.
Schedule?
King. I don't have a website with schedule, no.
Okay.
I have my fan page on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You can find that.
Okay.
But we don't have any of those announcements just yet. That's more
okay.
just pictures and
so
fun stuff. But stay tuned. Yes, we have the SMK. There's a Scarecrow Mrs. King. When is that? On like the 30th or somewhere around there of October. I'm not sure. Earlier
that
or maybe that'll be out here in Los Angeles. There's a 30th anniversary. It's been 30 years.
Oh God!
Thank
really?
You very much. Yes.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
It's
only
still
makes
going.
You feel older. Still going strong,
okay.
yes. So, yeah.
Okay, actually, that SMK anniversary is October 4th and 5th at the Beverly Garland.
At the Beverly Garland Hotel, yes, in the Valley here.
Okay.
And
well, great,
there,
Bruce.
And you bet. So, those are the things you asked. Okay?
All right, perfect. Thank you
All
so
right.
much. And
well,
when Lantern City gets going, whenever that may be, you know, we'll bring you back.
Well, we've got, you know, I can't reveal too much, but we do have some very positive things going. So,
that's great.
But, you know, you're going to want to really jinx them by talking too soon.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's well on its way. It's well on its way. Don't worry. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Take care now.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.